Okay, so this is part two of The Threshold, and I want to get to the part of the story that is actually my experience to prepare you for probably your experience. It occurred over two weekends, and it began two Sundays ago when my husband and I attended church. We had a visiting evangelist speaker who trained over 20 youth to travel to Africa this last spring, March. He spent a great deal of time preparing this group, and you could tell because they were used mightily by the Lord. After our church worshiped the Lord in song, this group of kids got up on the stage and started sharing a discussion of what they witnessed and how they participated in it. They shared testimony after testimony of salvation and healing of people immediately after they prayed for them. They literally witnessed miracles of God. I mean, how awesome is this? As we sat there, my husband and I, we heard the group of youth share their perception of their trip and how it not only changed their life, but their perspective. They now feel like they could walk out and the Lord could use them. They had confidence. I will link this amazing church service in my blog, and also the Bloom Conference, which I'm also going to share. As we all know, the African culture is deeply rooted with a lot of demonic activities and sacrifices. It's so prevalent in their culture that when the sons and daughters of the high arrive in their cities, they're hungry for the truth. These fine youth witness these hungry souls. They describe the African people as people who think they are walking epistles of Jesus, these kids. And it's honoring, but it's kind of frightening. Here in the United States, we take this for granted. But when the guest speaker steps up on stage to share his testimony of the trip, I feel a shift in the spirit, and God's glory begins to kind of flow into the room. I don't know if you've ever felt this sort of glory, but it's exciting within your spirit. And it unveils every human mindset that we carry. Like, you can't think about anything, but the glory of God is over you. It's amazing. As this fellow begins to tell his travel stories of the last 38 days, the glory of God is building all around him. My spirit is excited. He shared that in the 38 days of travel, 3,800 people were led to Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm amazed. Doesn't that give you the chills? His list was inspiring, and the testimonies that he gave were very stirring. And then he began to share this testimony of, as they were on a plane headed to Tanzania, and each seat had a television on the back of the headrest in the plane, and several times on their trip, the Muslim prayer, the little guy would show up, and everyone on the plane would bow their head and start praying, except his group. His team, they weren't wearing masks and they weren't praying. And so, of course, they got a little attention from the male flight attendant. And he said, are you guys missionaries? And the evangelist said, yeah. And then he said, are you Pentecostal? Well, I don't know if you're aware of what Pentecostal Christians are. They believe the work of the Holy Spirit spoken of in the book of Acts. And their direct experience of the presence of God is shown in their faith. Pentecostal believe that the faith must be powerfully shown in just by evidence, and not something found merely through ritual or thinking, but through entering the presence of God. So this man believes this, and he's ushering it in, and I'm witnessing it. Immediately, the flight attendant says, follow me. So he gets up on out of his plane seat and follows the guy to the back of the plane, where he finds the owner of the plane is sitting. And for the next 6 hours, he said, they debated whether Jesus Christ could save him or not. The bottom line of that six-hour debate was the plane owner did not want to be touched for fear he would fall to the ground. In Africa, if you fall to the ground on a plane, there's tons and tons of paperwork. The plane owner said he'd seen it thousands of times. Once Jesus came, every single person fell to the ground. So the guest speaker says, I won't touch you. Will you accept Jesus in your heart? The plane owner agrees, and they say the prayer in the book of Romans, and he doesn't touch him. but the plane owner folds like a napkin in his seat by the Spirit of God. On that same plane, several other witnesses watched this event, and they too received Jesus as their Savior. I think he said there were about six of them. Then the speaker concludes his message, and he turns to the church and says, "How many here believe in miracles today?" In my mind, I say to myself, "Okay, Father, what are you doing?" Because we just had this conversation in my kitchen, and I could feel the Holy Spirit fall over the entire church. Like, it's a glory cloud in there. The speaker continues with, "I think we forget we can too witness here. God's miracles right now are for you and me today. Do you believe it?" This is like an echo from my previous post, City of Joppa, right? God prepared me for this, don't you think? He continues to say, "Let's try something else." He begins to say, "Anybody in the audience need to receive Jesus today as their Savior and Lord? Come on up to the altar." Nobody stands. It's not surprising to me because when I look around in the church, everybody's sold out for Jesus, especially during worship. Every hand is up. Everybody's standing. Then he says, "Okay, let's try something else. How about a new pouring or refreshment of the Holy Spirit?" I laugh. I jump up. Everybody around me jumps up. Again, didn't we just talk about this on my blog, Flame of Faith? I say, "Father, what are you doing?" in my head. Is this the Ephesus that you're talking about in chapter 2 of Acts? Tell us. It tells us in that chapter that his Spirit will pour out to all flesh. No one's excluded from the call. I'm seriously excited now. I can hardly stay standing there. I want to run up to the front as fast as I can and get my second filling. I know if we ask for more, God meets us there, and his timing is actually perfect. By now, I assume everyone who's standing with me is going to head towards the front of the church when he calls us to the altar. But no, the enemy is in the midst, even though the glory's there. People are hearing, if you're in Christ, you don't need the altar call. Just stay there, because, you know, it's just, you'll look like a fool. This guy wants to make you look like a fool. I am not hearing this, but my brother-in-law did, and my husband heard it. I have a hunger for more, just like the African people. I don't care what people think. I don't care if I look like a fool. I feel like that's when things begin to happen for you and I. Apparently, the enemy did win, though, because there were only a few of us who walked to the altar. The speaker said, "Let me ask another way to those who suffered from long haulers of COVID. Do you need healing?" He begins to list the ailments of long haulers. And all right, here comes the church. Everyone's suffering from something. Packs of people head up to the altar. And he says, "Okay, let our ministry team, these beautiful young youth, forward, and they'll pray for you." I'm standing there, and I'm waiting, and this cute, lovely girl named Olivia comes up to me and says, "I'm going to pray for you." And then she says, "What would you like prayer for?" And I said, "Well, I feel like there's a block in my spirit, and I think it might be generational. I could use a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit." She says, "Okay, consider my prayer to be like ibuprofen," and she touches her arm. "Only apply what's needed by agreeing." She begins praying, "You are seated in heavenly places of Christ. You're accepted and loved, and you are light with no darkness," and so on. And as she's talking, I'm taken up. I can't hear her anymore. All I can hear is the glory in this church. Like, the music is going, people are playing, but it feels like I'm in heaven. I don't have a vision, but it feels this way. And I see her lips moving, but I can't hear what she's saying. And then I feel Jesus. Jesus begins saying, "You are safe here, Angela. You are safe. You are here." I begin to relax, and the tension begins to untie within my body. I wasn't even aware this tension was there until this very moment. And I'm lost in this place. I'm not aware anymore what's happening around me, the space. It just becomes really big. And what's going on becomes like background noise in a movie. All the others being prayed for and singing and music and everything. It's so beautiful and weightless. And I'm drifting. And then I hear Olivia say, "Angela, you are not responsible for your childhood. It is not your fault." Bam. Just like that. just like the owner of the plane. I fold like a napkin and I'm on the floor, but I'm safe. Nothing happens. I've seen this hundreds of times on the internet, and never once did I understand the power that the Holy Spirit has. I'm here to tell you today, skepticism is not of God. When God's glory comes, the veil is taken down and we are unable to stand. Holy Spirit takes everything we offer and covers it in God's glory. It is a deep yet delicate, sweet melting of your soul. And it travels from your soul right into your heart. And as I'm laying on the floor, everything that I've been holding on to is released. And I receive and I receive and I receive and interact with God. And I'm carried away. I'm free. I'm changed. And I am renewed. That, my friend, is a lightning bolt from the Holy Spirit. And my stumbling blocks, they're gone. I'm not sure exactly how long I was on that floor, probably 5 or 6 minutes. My spirit was taken up into the glory within that church, and I could hear those angels. I mean, I know the angels are the ones on the stage singing, but they reached the heavens. Everything within my body that held that lie of my 4-year-old self was so deep in my soul, I could not access it. I could not get it melted. I could not remove it. But God can. The Father said in January's post, He would melt, repair, and remove my metals. My fountain of tears just came and came, and they were comforting like no other time of my life. I believe they must have been stored up since I was 4 years old. I got up and noticed not only was this a lovely girl holding me, but two other sweet sisters in Christ were there too. What a beautiful church. What a beautiful place of saints. Thank you, Jesus. Olivia was no older than 20 years old, and I could feel her heart. Even now, speaking about it, it tears me up. I felt her beautiful soul guiding me to meet Jesus. As I make my way to the restroom, people are all still getting prayer. And I look in the mirror and I see these little gold flecks in the corner of my eyes. I wipe my eyes assuming it's makeup, but I swear, this little gold glittery is coming out of the pores of my eyes. I have never believed these stories about gold dust. The Father is amazing. And I ask, Father, is this my makeup? Because I don't wear that much makeup, but I do wear mascara. And he says, I don't want to lead you astray. The Lord answers, this is my glory, found through a pure heart of worship. You are free. My glory pours out in gold. And we read about this, you guys, in 1 Peter 1:7. So that the genuineness of your faith, which is much more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested and purified by fire, may be found to result in your praise, glory, honor, and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Literally, this is what happened. Thank you, Jesus. I received that, and I receive it for you, for those listening. Friends, this was my first lightning bolt. The Father warned about in my January vision. And we don't have it all figured out. I definitely don't. But God, all He requires from you and me is love and willingness to follow Him wherever He leads. I want this for you today. The Father said in His word there would be a friend. My second lightning bolt will arrive the following weekend during Bloom, but I'm going to share that in another podcast. Blessings to you today. Shalom, Angela. Bye-bye.